KQED.
And along those lines, we've got a report now that Rob has filed from the conference.
Here in the halls of the UN Climate Conference in Copenhagen, attendees talk about AB 32 as if it were a Hollywood heartthrob. California's Global Warming Solutions Act, designed to reduce greenhouse gases to 1990 levels by 2020, is a darling of policymakers here. But back at home, that's not always the case. Cement from this mill in the Inland Empire city of Colton built the Hoover Dam and the LA Coliseum. Cement plants are some of the biggest greenhouse gas emitters. This one has won awards for its efficiency. Still, strict air quality laws here mean that among the company's plants throughout the West, this one is the costliest. Crippled by the recession and with carbon restrictions on the way, CalPortland laid off three-quarters of its workforce here. Today, the plant's two massive kilns lie dormant. CEO Jim Repman talks about AB 32 like a doctor diagnosing a virus.
If California ends up with full-blown AB 32, I think there's a strong likelihood that over time we will see those jobs, those businesses, move to Nevada, Arizona, Mexico, China, or someplace else.
This may be one of the unintended impacts of AB 32, which will force emission cuts of more than 10% from current levels, curbing tailpipe emissions, building more renewable energy, and for the industrial sector, establishing a cap-and-trade program. Edie Chang of the California Air Resources Board, or CARB, says the agency will first set an upper limit of allowable emissions equal to 1990 levels.
And every one of those allowances is going to be sort of a permit to emit one metric ton of CO2 equivalents.
Companies that beat their reduction targets can then sell their leftover allowances to others. The state could opt to give away these allowances, but will most likely sell most of them. Based on the projected price of carbon, CalPortland expects it'll cost the company tens of millions. When asked what letter grade to give CARB's rollout of AB 32, Shelley Sullivan, chair of the industry sector's AB 32 implementation group, had to stop and think.
I think I would have to give the state a D.
Sullivan says the law hasn't yet included a well-thought-out analysis of how it would impact the state's economy. CARB's Edie Chang defends the process.
There's always going to be some tension between trying to meet the environmental goals that the state of California has set out and working with businesses to try to do that in a way that works and makes sense.
Back at CalPortland's cement plant, CEO Jim Repman says he's not opposed to reducing greenhouse gases, but cap-and-trade, he says, is not the solution. For years, his company's been a part of the cap-and-trade system set up by the EPA to regulate nitrogen oxide. He found himself competing against hedge funds and private equity firms to buy allowances.
They're the very same people that brought us the financial crisis we're in today, and we're going to turn this whole system over to them? I mean, to me, that doesn't make sense.
Repman prefers a carbon tax. Cap-and-trade supporters, though, say a tax won't ensure reduced emissions, just higher taxes. The state's carbon trading market opens in 2012. Repman thinks many businesses will relocate their dirtiest plants to countries like China, where industry is virtually unregulated. Former Cal EPA head Terry Tamminen says that's precisely why Copenhagen is so important.
If China doesn't commit to reducing carbon from its cement industry, that could really impact the domestic industry here. And so getting a framework, having this be of equal importance around the world, I think helps to eliminate some of those concerns.
And that's exactly why when Governor Schwarzenegger addresses the conference tomorrow, he'll push world leaders to commit to binding greenhouse gas reduction goals. For the California Report, I'm Rob Schmitz in Copenhagen.